Good afternoon. Greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We do a lot of things on earth since we are born. And the things that we do, they continue as long as this body of ours is not bedridden. And as long as we are able to have strength and energy, we will keep doing. We do things that we like, and sometimes we are forced to do things that we don't like as adults. That's the nature of life and responsibilities. We know that. Some of the things we like to do, we enjoy. Some of the things we don't like to do, we try to avoid and try to do them as little as possible. What you like to do, what you do not like to do, speak a lot about who you are and what you are. If you are the kind that likes sports, activities that pertain to the flesh, because you're good at it, you have the physical strength and the natural, physiologically designed body to be good in many sports. And therefore, what you are good at is what you like to do, because you win. You beat people. They lose to you. Very, very enjoyable. But it reveals a lot about who you are, your likes and dislikes. There are those who don't like to attend prayer meeting, and I'm sure you know that. The church prayer meeting is every Wednesday evening. How many of you put it as a priority to attend? Of course, if you have young children, we understand. One parent needs to stay home to watch the children while the other parent represents the family in attendance. But do you like it? What about Bible study? Do you make it a point as something that is top on your list of priority that you want to attend, you must attend? I believe after this service, according to your church weekly, you have a Bible study. You have Bible studies during the Saturday, and I'm not sure whether your Bible studies in between, during the week, I mean, Monday to Friday. But if you have them, of course you're not expected to attend every single one of them. You may not have the time and the capacity to do so. You have other responsibilities. But it's a lot got to do with your desire. There are some who may like something that is new, and so when a new Bible study is announced, they love to attend, but they don't last. They attend maybe for a few months, and then after that, the desire just wanes, and then they stop attending. What you like, what you do not like, reveal a lot about who you are from a spiritual standpoint. And therefore, it is needful for us to know what angels and saints do in heaven now, because John, as you know, was brought up in the Spirit, according to the earlier verses of Revelation 4. And that's what he saw, and he witnessed this while he was still on earth. That's why the word now is mentioned. Of course, for us, it's our future, because we are still on earth. It was for John too, until the day he was called home to glory. Only his spirit, his body, was still in the Isle of Patmos, in exile. So what do you like, what you do not like, speaks a lot of who you are. And that is what we need to focus on this afternoon. Because the activities that you find in heaven, if you don't like them on earth, and this is what people do in heaven, you have a very serious spiritual condition. You are either not born again at all, or you are very spiritually wayward, very far from God. Many of the things that pertain to the flesh, as you know, they are not found in this passage. During the reading, I hope you were paying attention. Do you read of any sport, any sporting activities, anything that is of the flesh? Zero. You realize that? Many of the things that we do from Monday to Saturday that does not pertain to church activities, you don't do anymore in heaven. But what you do on the Lord's Day, you continue to do in heaven, as you can see by just having a quick glance of these six verses. You realize that? And therefore, it is very important that you like the activities that continue to be done in heaven today, because it reveals a lot about your spiritual condition, especially your salvation and your relationship with your Heavenly Father, who is the creator of heaven and earth. Because the focus of what the angels did is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. And they are there in heaven, just as they are here on earth, to assist all of God's children. The Holy Spirit dwells in us, that allow us to love and enjoy the activities that continue in heaven, that we do right now. And the Lord Jesus Christ is our centrality, our focus. He is our everything. Everything that we do, every motivation is all about Jesus Christ, because in heaven, that will be all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, God the Father is the one who help us, whom we pray to without ceasing. We ask Him for help and assistance every moment of every waking hour to continue to do the things in heaven on earth. So let's look at first the activities of the angelic beings from verse 6 to verse 8. And then we look at the activities of the saints from verse 9 to verse 11. The focus that God gave to the Apostle John was the things the angels did. And before, that is in front of the throne, that was mentioned in the previous verses, verse 4, round about the throne were 24 seats. And there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes, before, in front, and behind. That means very, very wise, genius, very discerning. That's what eyes are for, isn't it? To be able to see everything, right? Front and back means they are extremely discerning. They know all things. They will never be caught off guard, because it's front and back, all around. That is the figurative, symbolic significance that we have to take heed. And these beasts, as you can see, are not wild beasts, ferocious beasts. How do we know that? Because the word beast is not the same as the word beast in Revelation 13, where the word beast appears to describe the Antichrist and the false prophet. The Bible says in Revelation 13, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, that is, out of the earth, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy." And then the same word beast is used in verse 11 to describe the false prophet. "And I beheld another," this is another of the same kind, "beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon." Of course, by God's grace and God's permission, God willing, we shall study this chapter in greater detail in the near future. But just to let you know, these two words, beast, to describe the evil assistance to the old serpent, the devil himself, they literally means wild, dangerous, venomous creatures. But the word beast in Revelation 4, that describe the four beasts around the throne of God Almighty, they literally means living ones. It simply describes creatures that are living, where the word life is the root word. The King James translators chose the word beast to translate this word, living things. But they mean angelic beings, as you can see. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty was their singing. They are continuous, never ending retort, where it echoes throughout the heavenly realm, holy, holy, holy. Why three? Because of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so the Bible introduced them to us. Why four? Because of verse 7. It described their ministry. Of course, there are not only four angels, of course. There are myriads of angels that we do not know the exact number. We know that angelic beings were created on the first day when God created the heavens and the earth. Heaven is a real place where angels were created, just like us, but not made in God's image, where angels can have freedom of will, where they make choices. And that's how fallen angels occur. And if you were to study Revelation 12, we are told there that one third of the angelic beings at the very beginning, after day 7 of creation, they followed Lucifer, who God later called Satan or the devil, when God cast him out of heaven onto this earth. These were good angels, four living things. Four, because of the description of their ministries. That's why four. How many they were, we do not know. We only know that there were many, many, many of them. And they will be with us when Jesus Christ come down from heaven, riding on a white horse to judge this world at the battle of Armageddon, followed by the judgment of the wheat and tares, where the angelic beings will be the instrument that Christ would use to separate the wheat from the tares, or the tares from the wheat. So we know that this is a description of angelic beings. And they are all around the throne of God, waiting for the Heavenly Father, God the Creator, to tell them where to go, what to do on earth. That's why they are around the throne. They are ministering spirits. The moment they fall, there is no salvation for them, according to Hebrews 2. Jesus Christ said it very clearly. Jesus did not come in the form of angels to save angels. He came to save us. And so he must come in the form of man, exactly like us, from infancy to adulthood, and that's how he came. So angelic beings, the moment they fall and remain in a fallen state until they are cast into the lake of fire at the end of this world, the millennial kingdom. So what exactly were they? Look at their nature. Verse 7, the first beast, like a lion, king of the jungle, as we call them, and therefore it focused on rulership, angelic beings that will rule. That's why you have some angels called archangel. Arch means rule. So this first beast or first living thing, the Bible says, it is like a lion. Rulership. There will be rank in the angelic beings. Archangel, and therefore implying normal angelic beings. Lucifer was one of the archangels. The one third that fell together with him on their own individual choice. They probably were simple, ordinary angelic beings. No mention of any archangel falling together with the devil. We know that Gabriel, Michael, they are archangels. Lucifer was one of them. Cast down from heaven, became an adversary, that's the meaning of Satan. Devil is a slanderer. And one third of the angelic beings became demons. And so you have rulers. They will rule. Not with Christ. We will rule with Christ. But they have their ranking. Second, The second beast was like a calf. Service. Right? That's what calves do. Animals. They help work the farm. They serve. So the emphasis is on service, and that's why we know they are ministering angels. They minister. They do the work. God, the Father, will send them in whatever form that they need to be in, and they will come. Sometimes they just remain in spirit because they are ministering spirits. They do not have a corporeal body. But there are times on certain occasions, as revealed to us in the Old Testament in particular, angels will be given a full grown-up man kind of a body where they will do what God had sent them from heaven to do. Like in Genesis 18 and 19, before two angels separated from Jesus Christ, the theophany, God sent them from heaven to go to Sodom and judge the city by fire and brimstone, but also to take Lot and his family out before the fire and brimstone came to destroy that part of Israel, or land of Canaan at that time, I mean. And to realize that they just simply serve. Service and serving God as they surround the throne, waiting for God the Father to send them with whatever message, the word of God, as you can see in Daniel. God will send them and give them visions upon visions, as you can see in this book as well, the book of Revelation. They were sent by God to do the work of God. God can do whatever He wants. He spoke to Moses face to face. He could use angelic beings. He could also speak to His servants by way of visions and dreams. And He could also send angelic beings with the word of God, and they have good understanding. Because when God sent His angel to give to Daniel, for example, a vision, Daniel could not understand, even though Daniel was very brilliant, as you can see from Daniel chapter 1 onwards. God gave him the gift of interpretation, but he was not able to interpret that vision. And then he wept, the Bible said, until the angels explained to him the meaning of the vision, then he understood. So they have the ability to understand. They do not just simply serve like robots. They have the ability to rule. They also have the ability to understand, and they serve the Lord with understanding. That's what we must do too. Don't forget that. Serve with understanding. We also will rule, but on a very different scale, and of course in a very different capacity. We'll talk more about that from verse 9 onwards, what we do in heaven today. The third beast had the face of a man. That means the ability to reason. Right? That's what man is supposed to do. Ability to reason, to think. To look at things and then to evaluate and to reason and to explain. Very logically. So, angelic beings also have the ability to reason. To look at things and to make right decision and judgment. And so when you read later on in chapter 12, the one-third, they make judgment. They saw what the devil wanted to do, to be like God, and they saw what God the Father did by casting him down. Now, Satan or Lucifer did not represent angelic beings like Adam represented us. Every individual angel was created by God separately, individually. And therefore, when they chose to fall with Satan, each and every angelic being made their own individual choice to do that. That's what they did, and that's what we have to bear in mind when we think of angelic beings. Now, of course, angelic beings are all in the masculine gender. No feminine. Masculine gender. They can reason, they can think. They are not made in God's image, and therefore they are held accountable for their decision making, and that's why Satan and all the fallen angels will be judged, and they will ultimately spend eternity to be punished by God in the lake of fire. No salvation for them, but there will be judgment and punishment for each and every one of them who fall. And they will remain in that state, the fallen state, forever, to be punished with all the sinners, men and women made in God's image. Bear in mind. So out of all of God's creation, no birds, no sea creatures, no other land animals, only angelic beings and humanity will be cast into the lake of heaven. Sorry, lake of fire, I beg your pardon. Only two of God's creatures, because angelic beings are given ability to reason. Now this, of course, is a description of the good angels. So therefore, these fallen angels were like this before they fell. And that's why they can fall, because they will make choices. They have the ability to reason and think. What is right, what is wrong, God will hold them accountable, not your pet dog, not any other beast or birds or dolphin or whatever you want to think and consider. But angels and men, yes. And the last fourth beast, a flying angel, swift judgment. So when they minister the judgment of God, they will do it very quickly. They do not hesitate. They move fast, and that's what the flying symbolize in eagles. They can fly, they can move very fast. That's how we know that Satan, who is not omnipresent, if he is here in Singapore, he is not in America. If he's in America, he's not in England. He may move at very quick speed. What speed, we do not know. But he cannot be in two places at the same time. He is bound by space and time, like all of God's creatures that God created, whether in corporeal form or in spirit form. Just like when you and I see and understand the Bible concerning saints who have died in Christ, they are now in spirit form in heaven. They are not omnipresent. They are still bound by space and time, even though they exist in heaven in spirit only and no longer in any corporeal body that is left behind at death, which is designed by God for the earthly environment in order for us to witness the good confession for Christ, because it is in this earthly, earthen vessel that people can see who we are and what we are by what we do. In spirit, they can't see. We cannot witness for Christ in spirit. That's why angelic beings, when they come and serve the Lord on some occasion, they have to take on this corporeal form on a temporary basis. And after the mission was completed, they went back to heaven, where this earthen vessel just simply disappeared. What happened and where did it go? We do not know. Where did they get it from? We also do not know. But they appeared in Genesis 18, three of them. One of them was Christ, two were angels, and they have this earthen vessel. That's why when they went to Sodom, Lot did not know that they were angelic beings until the end of the chapter. Neither did those awful men who wanted to take them and abuse them. They thought they were just simply human beings. Therefore, they look very, very human like us, but they are not like us. They did not grow from infancy to adulthood. They just simply were given this mortal body that looked like our mortal body on a mission for the work that God has given to them, and therefore they will do it very swiftly to serve the Lord. And God sent them, they will be able to make judgment what is right, what is wrong. Now, in the case of the angelic beings, when he saw Daniel weeping and who did not understand the vision, he took it upon himself, I think, I don't know, to explain to him. Did he ask God for permission? No record of it, of course. He explained. Just like the angelic being who appeared to Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, the high priest, struck him dumb, told him, until John was born and you write down his name, Johann, John, then you will get back your ability to speak. And that's exactly what happened. They have authority, they have power. And then when he was sent by God to go to the Virgin Mary, they had a very long discussion. In the case of Elizabeth also, used by the Lord. But in the case of Christ, it was not anyone but the Holy Spirit who came upon the Virgin Mary. And that's how Jesus Christ took on human form, flesh and blood. But angelic beings give the message, vision or dream. It could be God direct, many ways. So the angelic beings, four, because of the four types of ministries that they carry out as they were around the throne of the Almighty in heaven that John was able to see. And what do they do? The four beasts had each of them six wings. Why six wings? Because of Isaiah chapter 6, verse 2, verse 3. Two cover the eyes, two cover the mouth. Don't anyhow speak, don't anyhow see. Okay, maybe the glory of God is so bright that they could not see. Now, of course, these are all figures of speech. They are spirit being. And then, of course, with two wings, they fly. Similar to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 2 and verse 3, in the description of angelic beings here in Revelation chapter 4. And then the Bible said, full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, so non-stop, day and night, saying, holy, holy, holy. So this refrain that is recorded here, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and is to come. This is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever you see this phrase, which was, which is, and is to come, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Which was his death, which is his resurrection, is to come, his return. He's known as Lord God Almighty. The second person of the Godhead is also Lord God Almighty, all powerful. He is the Lord, the Master. We are all servants. And the constant refrain, praising Christ, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. So do you praise Christ while you are here on earth as you serve like the angelic beings? Is Christ the focus, the one and only one that you exalt? Yes or no? Because in heaven, there will be no one who will be exalted, no matter who you are, what your name might be. It does not matter. You may be the most famous person on earth, but you will not be famous in heaven. You will be like everyone else in heaven. You may be famous on earth in the eyes of men, but in heaven, only one person will be exalted, and that is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And this refrain of holy, 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 Lord God Almighty is non-stop, continuous, without cessation, except, of course, it's always an exception. For 30 minutes in chapter 6, where we have the opening of the seal, and that will begin the judgment, there will be 30 minutes of silence. The Bible tells us later on, after the judgment is about to be unleashed. Okay? 30 minutes of silence. And that is to let us know how we get the phrase silence before the storm. Chapter 6, 7, and 8. 30 minutes. May there be no more holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Silence. And then God will unleash his wrath upon this earth. But before that, which is our future too, it happens in heaven. This was what the angels did. They serve, they worship. Who? God the Father they serve, they worship the Lord Jesus Christ based upon what Christ did on earth. Do you realize that? Because of what Christ did on earth, there will be human beings in heaven in glory. You realize that? If God the Father had not or did not send Jesus Christ to come down and save us, and if God were to ever want human beings to enter heaven, how will he judge? What will be the standard and basis of his judgment if he wants human beings to enter heaven? What will he use? Nothing. Right? Because sinners in Singapore, 21st century, are not like the sinners in Singapore when Singapore was founded 60 years ago, or before we got our independence, with part of Malaya, or people from all kinds of centuries, all kinds of countries. If God wants, of course, if God doesn't want anyone in heaven, everyone will end up in hell and the lake of fire. But if God wants to allow anyone to enter heaven, the standard He set is Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus Christ and have you accepted Him as Lord and Savior? Nope. That's it. You can't go in. That's why in John chapter 5, God the Father made it clear, I handed over the judgment of all you human beings to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the one who will be the standard. If anyone were to be allowed into heaven, He is the standard. You have to know Him as your Lord and as your Savior, or else, that's it. No one will be permitted to enter outside of Christ. You have to be in Christ, and Christ has to be in you for you to enter the gates of heaven. That's how important Jesus Christ is, and should you therefore be surprised that the angelic beings, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, focus on the Lord Jesus Himself, which was, which is, and which is to come. So when you serve, who do you exalt? Yourself? Be very, very careful, because in heaven, you will not be exalted. You will be very, very uncomfortable in heaven. Heaven is a place where only one name will be exalted and magnified. And it's not yours, it's definitely not mine. It is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And therefore, if here right now on earth, in your service, in your witness, in your testimony, in what you do at home, in what you do at work, in what you do in school, in what you do, don't you dare say to the Lord, I will only worship and exalt Christ on Sunday afternoon onwards. But when Monday comes, I go back to school or to work in my own home, I exalt someone else, myself, my family, my children, whoever, whatever. You will find yourself completely out of place in heaven. Do you know that? Because the Bible here says what? Day and night. Only one name, one person, and that is Jesus Christ. That's why, one again, a clearest evidence of a person who is born again today is a person who will always want Christ to be magnified and he wants to be invisible. Christ must increase, I must continue to decrease more and more, until I completely become invisible to the people I serve. That whenever they get blessed, it is Christ they will want to exalt, not me. There are certain fools who think that the ministry is flourishing or blossoming because of them. There are certain fools who think that because of their ability to preach and serve, the church is growing. More people are baptized because of him or them. Are they not fools? You mean because of you preaching the gospel and people now are baptized, you remember how many people you baptized, like one of these old Western cowboy, everyone that they kill with their pistol, they put a mark on their gun to let them and everyone else know how many victims that they have killed by their fast gun, fast draw. There are some who will keep a record of how many they baptize. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? You mean because of you? They are now converted because of you? So you want to record and challenge? How many did you baptize, Pastor? I baptized 3,500. What about you? You give a number? There are some people who did that. How do I know? Because I talked to someone who was like that. Every time, literally every time you ask him to give a testimony in front of the church, he will literally tell you how many he baptized. And every time, it will be an increase because that's his focus. I told him to his face, please stop doing that. He can't stop. He just simply could not stop because it has become such a terrible, scary habit in him, that the moment he baptized some people, it will add on to that list. And he keep adding and adding and adding and adding. Can't stop. It's his nature now. Thank God he's out of the ministry. Not out of Pandan. No longer in Pandan because of a terrible transgression that he has committed. Very dangerous to ever think that it's because of you, your cleverness, your whatever skill that you think you may have, or whatever gift of the gap that you may think you have, and therefore the ministry is flourishing is because of you, and you want to just take a little bit of the glory. Don't you ever fall into that deadly trap of the devil. Christ alone must be our exaltation, whether we are serving him in church, in school, at our workplace or at home, it does not matter. He must be the only one that we promote. And if people were to say all kinds of nice things to sincerely encourage you, you thank God for that encouragement, but don't you ever, ever let it go to your head and ever toy with the foolishness that is because of you they come. Because of your clever administrative skill that this ministry is now growing, and compared to the previous chairman or president of the ministry, that person make mistakes after mistakes, and here you are, and the ministry is doubling, tripling, growing at great pace. You think it's you? Then heaven will be most uncomfortable for you. That's what we see in the angelic beings, isn't it? In heaven, that's what they do. Only one person, Christ, and they serve in wherever, whatever capacity God the Father sent them to do. They will go obediently and faithfully. So their focus is Christ. Now verse 9 to verse 11, the saints. Now watch. When all these things were happening, right? The word when in verse 9. When those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne and liveth, who liveth forever and ever. So give thanks to whom? God the Father, who sits on the throne. Now remember, the one who sits on the throne is God the Father, not God the Son. But the focus of the angelic praise is God the Son. That they thank God the Father for all that he did in sending the Son to do what he did on earth to save us. So that right there and then, you also have saints. Right, together with angelic beings in front of the throne of God. Where did all these saints come from? So this is not God the Father seated on the throne, myriads of angelic beings around, and then nobody else. The saints were there too, because when these things happened, then it was the turn of the saints to do what they did in verse 10. Right, that's why when the angels did all these things, give glory and honor and thanks to him, the Son of the throne, that is God the Father, who liveth forever and ever. The 24 elders who sat on the 24 seats. Now, mentioned last time, I think 2 Sundays ago. We look at the 24. Why 24? 24 is the number of representation. What I forgot to mention is, why did God use this number of representation? As you can see from 1 Chronicles, where it described the worship during the time of King David, when he turned Jerusalem into a spiritual capital. Why didn't God just simply give a number of billion, whatever? How many saints were there? Because the number keeps changing, isn't it? Because so many people are saved almost every moment of every day, right? So the number keeps changing. So God has to use a representative number to help us understand that he is referring to saints. Saints in glory, those who have died in Christ, including the Old Testament saints who also died in Christ by looking forward to what Christ will do. And we on this side of Calvary will look back to what Christ has done. And that's why a number of representation, which is number 24, is very correct. It's very suitable because the number keeps increasing. More and more people are saved, and so the number, the people going to heaven will increase, right? And when saints die, they keep joining heaven. So there will be no one specific number because the number keeps growing, 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 growing. So the number of representation is appropriate. And so that's what God did. So 24 seats, the 24 elders, God called them. fell down before him that sat on the throne, and then they worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Glory and honor and thanks, in verse 9, by the angels. Glory and honor and power by the saints, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So they all worship God the Father, the Creator. God the Father initiated our salvation because of his love for sinners, undeserving sinners like ourselves. He sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who must be the only one that we will exalt and focus in all that we praise before God the Father, where we will ascribe to God the Father what is described here: glory, honor, and power. He must be our praise, to give him all the glory. Because of him, these saints are now in heaven. You realize that? And what did they do? They cast at the feet, before the throne, in other words, the crowns. And this word crown is where we get the English word Stephen, Stephanos, in contrast to diadem. Diadem are crowns that belong to the royal blood. So the prince, who is the bloodline of the king, will wear diadems. He doesn't have to do anything to earn the Stephanos, the crown that is described here. This crown is the kind of crown that they give to athletes in games, where they have to run fast, throw the javelin, the furthest, whatever it is that they have to do to earn it. They have to do something in order for them to get this crown. That's why the word Stephanos, Stephen, is used. The crown that Jesus Christ will wear in Revelation 19 is diadem. Okay? Where he is royalty. Many crowns he would wear. That's what the Bible says in Revelation 19, verse 12. His eyes were as a flame of fire, that talks about his ability to judge into the very depths of our soul. Right? That's what eyes are. And his head were many crowns, and that's diadem. Not like the crowns that is described here in verse 10. That is Stephanos, the crown that God will give to us, that we do not use as our motivation. We are consumed by the love of Christ, not how many crowns you're going to get. God just simply give them to us. Never become our motivation. You do not serve the Lord for crowns. You serve the Lord because you love Christ and Christ loved you. That's it. And we know, as we serve, we are unprofitable servants. God doesn't have to give us any crown, give us anything. We will still serve him. That's why we use the word calling to describe all those who serve the Lord, including especially full-time workers. We come to serve, calling. Whether the church gives us anything or not, it's immaterial. It doesn't matter. We are here because God called me to serve in this church or that church, whatever. Not because of any remuneration. The moment you want to serve because of remuneration, you are a hireling. We are not motivated by crowns. We are motivated by the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit at the time of our salvation, because of our love for him. We are so grateful and so thankful to him. And here you have the angelic beings worshipping the Lord first, and while all these things were done, then the Bible turned its focus to the saints, represented by 24 elders, 24 seats, seated on the throne. And they came down from the throne, and they fell down and worshipped. Right, they sit on the throne, and they saw and heard what the angelic beings did. They came out from the seat, and then they worshipped God Almighty, and then they present to him all that they have done for the Lord. All their service, in other words, their sacrifices, the hours you spend preparing your lesson to teach children, the hours you spend looking after the ministry with much prayer, and you sacrifice time that you could have and should have done something else, but you did not. You come and serve the Lord. The Lord doesn't appreciate, the Lord doesn't know you are here representing Christ. Your mouth speaks the word of Christ. Christ appreciates. Your hands now will do the work of Christ. Christ appreciates. Your feet will go to places where Christ himself would have walked if Christ remained on earth. But now you are doing it on his behalf. You think Christ is not appreciative? You think God the Father is not appreciative? What you are doing on behalf of his only begotten Son, faithfully, according to Scripture. And so he will reward you, even though we don't serve for reward. He will still give it to you. And that is how we must behave in heaven. Thus, serve as unprofitable servants. Whatever the Lord gives to us, our crown we give back to the Lord. So God gave us spiritual gifts so that our life will not be powerless and meaningless, so that our lives can be powerful, used by the Holy Spirit with the spiritual gift that God gave to us, and we use it and let our lives be a blessing to people. And when our lives are blessed by people, sinners can come to know Christ, can get out of hell and into heaven, and brothers and sisters in Christ can continue to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Husband and wife may come to this church quarreling, not even close, but after they've been attending for a season of time, they become loving husbands, loving wives. Now they know from Scripture how to relate to each other, and so they become very godly testimonies at home, and then the children will now begin to see Christ in mom and dad, and then they also become believers, and now everyone in the home become believers because they come to the right church where the Word of God is faithfully and accurately taught, and they become sanctified by the Word of God Sunday after Sunday after Sunday with so many messages, including other Bible studies they attend. They become more like Christ, and these people are very grateful and thankful to you because they think that you are the one who helped them because of your sacrifice and your preaching and your teaching. But you must never forget, it is God. You are just an instrument, a broken instrument in the Master's hand. But they see you, they don't see Christ. They appreciate your ministry, which is good. But you don't let it ever go to your head. You must only exalt Christ and glorify your Heavenly Father. That's what they do in heaven now. The angelic beings and the saints. Centrality to their worship and focus as they bow down before God, Jesus Christ. Because of Christ, they are now there in front of God the Father. And they are very grateful and thankful to him for initiating their salvation and sending Christ to suffer and to die for them. And so they say from the heart, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory. You must be the one who is to be praised, not me. Honor, highest honor, elevate him. And power. God gave us the power and the strength to serve and to minister. You ascribe to him everything. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created, that's us. We know we deserve hell. We should be in hell. But then when you find yourself in heaven, in the presence of the Almighty, because of Christ, when you study and read and meditate upon verses like this, how can it be anything else, isn't it? How can the angelic beings behave in any other manner than to thank God, and the focus is Christ? Because of him, human beings are now in heaven. And we human beings who are in heaven, can we promote and glorify anyone else other than our Heavenly Father? And can we exalt in everything that we say, in everything that we do, anyone else except Christ? None. Because of Christ, we know we are children of God. Because of God the Father, his love for us, first love, we are now made children of God. This is what we will continue to do forever and ever in heaven. Let us begin today so that our tomorrow will be what we have just looked at. The angels and the saints, what they do in heaven, will be what we do as well, provided you love to do them here today. That's how important it is to keep the Lord's Day holy, because out of 7 days a week, the Lord's Day is the only day where the only activities that we do are the heavenly activities. The worship, the hearing of God's word, the fellowship. But everything else that you do from Monday to Saturday that is not church related, you know it will come to an end. So what do you like to do today? Reveals a lot about where you will be in heaven. Let us pray. Almighty God, our most merciful, loving Heavenly Father, help us to be true to our own selves and our own soul. For the spiritual activities and ministries that you have given to us through the church, do we truly delight in them as we come Sunday after Sunday to worship, to praise Thee, to adore Thee? Do we do so from the bottom of our hearts with all sincerity because of what the Lord Jesus Christ had accomplished for us within our heart, within our mind, within our soul, transforming us from enemies of God to children of God, from men and women and children in darkness to God's marvelous light? How can we not adore Thee, praise Thee, worship Thee, and ascribe to Thee all the power? But without Christ, we are nothing. We can do nothing. And without Thy first love for us, O God, how can we ever love Thee in return? For we will not have the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Savior. We thank Thee, Father, for this wonderful life that we have in Christ Jesus, that is so rich, that is so full, that is so abundant, that is no longer measured by what we possess on earth, but our wonderful, intimate, close, spiritual walk with Thee in Christ Jesus, and how this life can impact the lives of others for eternity. Help us, O Lord, to make sure of our salvation this afternoon by knowing in our own heart of hearts what we truly desire to do. Are they similar to what the saints and the angels do in heaven today? In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.